Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 188, episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, June 9th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Choogie, 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 Brandon everywhere. Choogie, 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 Brandon everywhere. Brandon everywhere. Brandon everywhere. Mountain Dew might be choogie. Drink it forever. Goes down so smoothly. That is courtesy of Christian Gucci Mane. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yes, it's your local conspiracy theorist and founder of the Wash Conspiracy Chuganon. It's Miles Gray. Hey. And I just had to come up with that one off the rip because, low-key, I kind of wouldn't do the Miss New Booty one, too. But it is what it is. Shout out to my brain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we are thrilled, Miles, to be joined in our third seat by one of the funniest stand-up comedians in the world. Mm-hmm. She's appeared on Last Call and At Midnight, where she won the internet twice. You saw her on Flap House.
I'm sorry, but I won the internet 6 and/or 7 times.
I know, but I didn't want to. I wanted to let you correct me.
How dare you? No, you didn't. You're a weirdo.
I'm a weirdo.
Fuck that up. He's like, I know.
You know what that is? That's a happily married man.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the sign of a man who goes, you know what, babe? Yes, you're right. Totally. I'm wrong once again.
My bad.
I'm yeah.
Flap House. Her Twitter account was named one of the 75 best Twitter accounts by Pace. Please welcome the absolutely hilarious Marcella Arguello!
Yes.
Hello.
Hey,
hi. Sorry for being outdated.
What is the show even about anymore?
Just getting people's stats wrong. So you won 6 or 7 times?
One of the funniest things about Jack is like how like his whole, he's just so muted and like the vibe is just like real chill. And then when he is doing that introduction, he goes for it. And it really gives me some insight into what's happening in the bedroom with his wife. So
that's right.
I'm just into it, you know. I like it. I love to admire it.
You can find another gear out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. You get an adrenaline, and Miles is like the same at all times, which is really. I wonder what you're like with your parents. You know.
With my parents? Yeah. Oh, I know. I just annoy the fuck out of them.
I was going to say, are you an only child?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That explains it. All right. End of conversation. I'm not interested anymore.
There we go.
Miles turns it on for his, like, friend's parents. I've seen him, like, run into one of his friend's parents in, like, a sandwich shop. And it's just like,
Shout out Darlene. Yep. Darlene Chin. We caught it to first. And I'm like, oh, because, you know, sometimes... It's weird when you see people out in public, and most of the time you see people you don't want to fucking see in public.
Right,
but sometimes you see like your homie from high school's like mom. You're like, oh my god, Darlene, what the fuck, bitch, bring it in.
But, you're not talking to Darlene like that, are you?
No. I said, hi, Darlene. Okay. How are you?
Are you good? Okay, there it is.
Okay. Oh, you come here too. You work around here. Hopefully, I run into you again.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that sound?
I was trying to hold back the laughter.
I thought there Miles was some is animal so... dying.
No, that's me going.
Oh, shit.
I do animal impressions.
Damn. Yeah.
We got to add that to the intro. Also, fantastic animal impressions. Oh, shit.
Damn, that is really something.
What chihuahua is that?
This replaces Mariah as
Beyonce. No. How dare you? You apologize to them.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's what this is a lifetime of being terrified of conflict
to a
pathological degree. Yeah.
Did you ever go through an emo phase, like a gothic phase, Jack?
No, not really. I went through like
I think you grew up in the Midwest too much for you to get emo.
No, there's plenty of emo. I wore cross colors and like Carl Kani in a town that was like the whitest town in the world. And that was kind of my emo phase. That was like everybody was mad at me, like including my teachers for doing that.
So you didn't get dark, you got black.
Right.
That's right.
He went another direction.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Marcella, what's new?
We're still in the middle of a pandemic. Why are you asking me that? Nothing is new. There's nothing to update. I got trying to set up these hookups with these dudes, and it's just not working out, and I'm very annoyed, you know? Like, I'm just coming to people's towns, and I'm trying to, you know, make something happen, and it's not, you know, I'm just upset. Just upset.
Does it feel like the energy is different out there with everyone being vaccinated, or it's just kind of the same different story?
I mean, I'm just trying to not hook up with strangers because, I mean, first of all, men lie. So, like, I can't trust some stranger to be like, yo, I'm vaccinated. Yeah, I haven't been in contact with anyone. You know, it's like, that's out the window. So I'm like trying to hook up with people I like pretty much have known or like really like, you know, kind of trust in some way. And it's just not panning out. And I'm like, really like, what is even out there? What are the options, you know?
Right.
I'm just saying, guys, you guys are lucky to be in a whatever you want to call it.
But how do you, like, triangulate, like, the people you know, you feel like you have enough, like, mutual friends or whatever to be like, okay, I think I can kind of understand or gauge how honest this person is?
I mean, if I've known them for years, I have to know them for years.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be like, this can be a fine one-night stand. You know, because I've hooked up with homies and it's fine. And then I hooked up with homies and it's not fine. And there is no kind of navigating that. But, you know, also at a certain point, especially now through the pandemic, it's like people are definitely approaching everything a little differently, you know, and everybody's just like, yeah, sex. Let's just do this. I don't even want, you know what I mean?
Oh, sex? Yeah. No,
yeah,
sex
let's
for
just
sure.
have sex.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the other problem is that, you know, some people, they lie. They're like, no, I don't. I just want to do this. And it's like, no, you don't.
They're like, I've loved you since the first time I saw you. And then I just wanted you to rip me apart.
They don't want that. Let me tell you right now.
They can't handle that mouth?
Too sensitive.
Oh, shit.
Fellas are too sensitive.
All right. We are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
You like how Jack switched it up when I said men are too sensitive? He was like, whoa, let's switch
gears. Well,
not me.
I have such a thick skin that I'm just going to move right on from that and into the stories that we're talking about today.
Talk about
some soft
people.
With sensitive men. Q, where did Q go? What happened? hey, what happened? It
what
seems
happened?
Like
where'd you go?
Right around when everybody figured out who Q was, and he's got a real boring name and is just like a mod that like he just disappeared. So they must have gotten that one wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. We will revisit the sentiment of fuck the Koch brothers, because they apparently have a hand in Joe Manchin's quote unquote reasoning. We'll talk about that ProPublica report that reveals how little the ultra wealthy pay in taxes. Mm. A Blair Witch escape room. But first, before we get to any of that, Marcella, we'd like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
I Googled the word fermentation because I was texting my friend because she is pregnant. So I was like, congrats on your fermented semen. And then before I hit send, I was like, is that even the proper? And I started Googling ferment. And I was just like, wait, this isn't Twitter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm like, it made me realize how like I'm traumatized from Twitter. Like,
because
I think I've talked about this before on here. It's like, I do try to consider all the reactions that people are going to say to me with, you know, whatever I tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, wait, this is my friend. You know, this is just me being funny. It doesn't matter. I don't need it to be accurate. And I was just like, so when I was like looking at my Google search, it just fermentation was right there. And I was like, oh, this is really fucking funny that I actually gave so much of a shit. But I'm traumatized by Twitter.
Yeah. There's something... Like I said, that my AKA yesterday, Runaway Train, was by Skid Row instead of Soul Asylum. Two different bands with like long blonde haired lead singers, and just had my mentions blown up. And it's just, it feels like you're being assaulted, or like, you know, people are just like coming at you because like eight different people are saying the same thing. So it feels like, they're right. Like my natural instinct was to be like, God damn it, everybody leave me alone. But like, it's just such an unpleasant experience. But yeah, no, they're right. I definitely got that wrong. And my bad, y'all.
Yeah, but I would say that's different though than what bothers me, because it's like, if I just say the wrong, like literally the wrong reference or the wrong, you know, like it's not a Kanye song, it's a Jay-Z song. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a matter of fact.
Right.
But in comedy, it's like shit does not need to be a matter of fact.
Right.
It's like it's just meant to be funny. And I think that I have to keep reminding myself, especially that now that I'm getting back into performing, it's like it's not about it being fucking perfect. It's about it being fucking funny. And I think that's the fucked up thing about some of these audiences and some of these people on Twitter. It's like, OK, but is it funny? And if it's not funny, why do you not find it funny? Is it because it doesn't like resonate with you? It doesn't apply to you? That's one that's different, you know?
But your stand-up set doesn't have a fact-checking department? You haven't hired a fact-checking department?
Oh, yeah, they're called hecklers, and they're fucking shit-faced, and they're usually wrong anyway.
Yeah, get
anyways.
The fuck out. Yeah, get him out. Get him out. Yeah, he's drunk.
No,
get
I don't kick him out. I fucking trash him until they shut the fuck up, and then every now and again we kick somebody out. I remember at fucking Chatterbox, Steve Hernandez has his fucking fun, he used to have a fun show.
In West Covina?
Yes, in West Covina.
Yeah.
And a guy was, like, on the phone in the front. Like on the phone. And at first I was like, give him a chance, because I'm not a complete dick. And I'm like, OK, you can wrap that up. You can't be on the phone.
Right.
And he just kept chatting on the phone, and like a show wasn't happening. It was bonkers. I got the whole room to boo at him. And then Steve walked him out as he was being booed. It was hilarious. And that's awesome. What I miss about live performances. But it was that thing of like, what the hell? Why are you on? Like, also just step outside. It's a bar. Like,
yeah.
Why would you want to be on the phone? You know, when there's a show and there's loud and there's like,
especially for someone to be in front at the Chatterbox,
it
it's
was
not like
so, crazy.
So big where you're like, okay, I get it's a gigantic room, and it's not, you're like, motherfucker, I'm feet
I can
away
see you.
From this
yeah,
shit.
I can see your face.
Yeah.
He clearly didn't know who he was trying to pull that shit.
Jack, are you flattering me? Oh, it's so
that was
cute.
My
tip.
Yeah.
No, I mean, unless you want that.
Unless you don't want me to, in which case I'll shut up. I should just shut the fuck
unless
up.
Fuck that, actually.
I just posted a quote on I forgot I did this interview with Vulture, and I said, like, I fucking hate compliments, because I do, because it's like, if I'm feeling bad about myself, you can't make me not feel bad. Like, I just feel bad. I'm going to sit in it. It's fine. I'm going to process some of these feelings. But if I'm feeling good, you can't make me feel gooder. You're not going to make me feel prettier, Jack. I feel pretty as is. You know what I'm saying?
She woke up like this.
Okay. It's a matter of fact, though, that our listeners should know that you are probably
the meanest
the wrong
bitch
comedian
in town?
To heckle. I think that's a matter of fact.
Fuck around and find out. At one of our shows.
Yeah, fuck around and find out. Come see me in Sacramento and New York this summer, y'all. Fuck around and find out.
Have you done any live shows?
I've done a couple. I did a little string of shows in Colorado, and that was really fun. You know, I will say that these audiences are really generous with their laughter right now. I'm telling every comic that's nervous, it's like, dude, take advantage. These people do not give a shit what you're talking about right now. Like, they
like,
are...
I did a dance, and they laugh.
Yeah, dude, I can just be like... I mean, you can say the dumbest shit and they're so into it. Like, it's really fun. It's really nice. It's also just like, yeah, this is the energy that everybody should always have at comedy shows. Like, yeah, just fucking relax. We're there to have fun. Like, life is good, even when it's bad. Like, we're having a moment to ourselves. Like, I am kind of glad people kind of mentally reset, you know, and are taking shit for granted. Because that's really what I hope a lot of people learn this year. But it's been, the few shows I've done have been really, really fun. It reminds me of when I entertained the troops back in 2013 in Japan. And they were like the most gracious audience, generous with their laughter. But even when you bombed, they were so sweet afterwards. Like, because I bombed, I bombed half of my shows. I killed the other half. Mm-hmm. But it was really funny that even after usually when you bomb at a show afterwards, when you're like standing out there, if you have the nerve to stand out there, people will ignore you if you bomb. But what I love about our troops is that even if I bomb, they still came over, shook my hand and said, thank you for coming out here and performing for us. We really appreciated it. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Right. And they're like, why is this guy got the bomb disposal suit on? That's kind of a joke. Sorry, I had to take a photo.
I forget why I don't like to do this podcast.
What's something you think is overrated?
You know what? Like, once again, I did not want to participate. And so I asked Twitter, and there are some really interesting answers. And here's what I want to say. And I don't, because, you know, I only hear myself talk. I don't listen to those podcasts on a regular basis. So I don't know what your guests are saying for overrated and underrated. But my question to you guys, and maybe it's just a comment I want to say, is do people confuse overrated for just some shit they don't like?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. For
I
sure.
think that's like the quickest way someone will engage with like that question for sure. Is just to think like, I don't like it, or because other people like it, it's overrated.
Right.
I don't think
that's the assignment, right? I think that's why I have such a hard time with it. I'm like, oh, people are taking the easy way out. I didn't know that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I like to think about these things, which is why I usually don't want to do them, because I'm like, this is too much work.
Yeah. I mean, we stopped doing the myths because of you.
I know. I mean, that one was dumb. That one was stupid. That one was dumb.
And it was only Guy Montgomery who was just coming heavy with those ones.
Shout out to Guy.
So other people's overrateds are your overrated. Other people.
Well, I just hear. Well, I guess I'm like shocked because a lot of white dudes were like Beyonce. And I was just like, OK, just because something isn't for you doesn't mean it's overrated. You know, somebody told me Outkast, which I found really offensive. I'm like, you're a white dude from the suburbs. Like, of course you don't like Outkast. That's fine if you don't like them, but they're not overrated just because you don't understand it. It was really interesting. And I wonder this is my question to you, is what's been your experience? Like, what's the most offensive overrated you guys have heard on this podcast?
I mean,
offensive.
Like, you were really like, you lost respect of the person.
Huh.
Oh, we just don't air those episodes.
And then they don't get asked back.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah, they just get stuffed in the back. No, I don't know. I mean, it's always opinion. So I never really take it personally because people usually articulate the thing. First, they'll be like weed, and I'll be like, what the fuck? And they'll be like, because I'm this, and I grew up
right,
like
but
this.
That's
and I'm
not
like,
overrated.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, right. See, I like this debate. Yeah. Like so. Is there something just in general in your lifetime that you felt was overrated for you personally?
I mean, there have been things. I mean, I have thought about them in when I've done this podcast before. And I think we've had some interesting conversations and some people brought up some interesting points. But again, even when I remember because I did like the phone call one and there were people that were like, I can't yada yada for whatever reasons because of this or that and the other because of mental health reasons or whatever, which is like. That doesn't mean that it's overrated to you. That means that it doesn't function for you as an individual human being.
Right.
Anyways, so I remember that one specifically just being like, I literally hate how many people shit on talking on the phone when it's like such an easy way to connect with human beings, you know?
Right.
People who shit on Tiger, no. They got it backwards. You want to talk on the phone, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that's the difference between considering something as underrated, overrated, and just like it literally.
Okay, how about I posit one to you? Here's something that is very highly liked right now in popular culture. The Olivia Rodrigo album.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Okay. So that's I had a good
viral tweet. I said, of course I love that Olivia Rodrigo album because dudes ain't shit at 17 and 47. The bitch is related. The young bitches, the old bitches. I even got some older women to listen to the album because of that tweet. And they're just like, yeah, this is on the money. Because it's like, it's not overrated. It really like, she really captures those like brokenhearted feelings, especially you have as a young woman. And sometimes when you've had another heartbreak after another heartbreak after another heartbreak, you're like, this is the same old shit. Like,
right.
Dude, my friend Lydia Popovich, the last time I called her up because I was like really heartbroken about some situation was ending. She was like, Marcel, you have the worst luck with guys. And I was really glad she said that because it made me be like, yeah, okay, so it's not just me. Like,
so it's luck.
It was really shitty, but it made me just kind of, it kind of gave me some sense of comfort knowing that like, I really am having the hard time that I I'm not exaggerating it.
Oh, right.
But listening to like a teenage girl, it's like, damn, you know what it made me think though? It definitely made me be like, parents should not be letting their teenagers date. If they can control it, they should not allow it. It's so fucking awful and such a huge distraction. And it should wait. Cause I didn't date till I got a little older and I'm really glad I didn't.
That song, Driver's License, has like really driven home, first of all, like how young those people are.
Right. Yeah. For
and
sure.
Like, yeah, it just made me feel old as fuck being like, wait, they're like dating and saying they're in love with someone before they even get their driver's license.
Yeah.
That's
just bad
also,
parenting.
They shouldn't get their driver's license that young either, but
yeah, I was like, oh, I'm in love with her because she'll let me drive her brother's truck and I don't have a driver's license. Right. You know what I mean? And that's like, that was my basis for love at a young age.
Which is what I'm saying. Man. Dudes ain't shit at 17. Yeah. And 47.
Hey, cause... but yo, I got her a sick ass Von Dutch hat for Valentine's Day. So don't tell me that ain't love.
I just like knowing Miles has always liked white girls. That's funny. That's all I'm hearing with that sense.
Oh, no, you should say, oh, man, I got the full
keep it down over there.
No,
you say some wild shit, aren't you?
No, not at all. I say, no, I've dated a plethora of many.
You don't have a type? Is that what you're saying?
For a while, my type was dancers.
Wow, Miles.
And I was just, because growing up in North Hollywood, the Millennium Dance Complex is there where all the backup, like all the choreography for music. So I was around dancers and shit, and that sort of became my vibe for a little bit.
That's interesting. Okay, well, then that's a good one. Overrated is people having like specific preferences. Like,
yeah.
I think that's really disgusting because it can be, you know, very racist or whatever. Limited. Fucking body discrimination and I don't have a type and people are always a shock because I do talk about black guys a lot because black guys like me, that's what I'll say. Black guys approach me, black guys like me, black guys are like they don't mind that my type of personality and so like they will gravitate towards them, but I do not have a type. I've liked every type of guy. I don't discriminate. I love a fat dude, I like a skinny dude, I like a short dude, I like a tall dude.
What's the most important thing that like they can keep up with, like not getting taking the shit you say personally and understanding your sense of humor or that they have empathy? Like, what's the first thing that you look for?
I mean, the first, I don't know. I don't know that there's a first thing I look for. I mean, yeah, you got to definitely have a sense of humor, but I mean, I don't know. I like a good laugher, a generous laugher, but that's because I'm a comedian. But because dudes, I think. Something I noticed that, because it happened in the household, my brother, he would always be like, who said that? If I said something funny, who said that? He would say, "Who is that from? What movie is that from?" And that was one of those things where it's fucked up, but it's like, it's how
he
really.
That's such a brother thing.
Though. Well, it is, but he really, like, he says it to my mom, too, sometimes when she says something funny. And it's been like the thing that I really notice in guys where it's like, wow, you're such a sexist and you don't even realize like how deep it is.
Right.
And I'm like, I really just, if a guy can laugh, like, that's why I love doing this podcast. I'll give you one compliment. You guys do laugh when I do say something funny, and that is actually very hard to find in more than one man at a single time. But that's also why you guys are friends, you know?
Yeah.
We like to laugh. I mean, yeah, what the fuck are you going to do? Not laugh? I mean, that's...
But
yeah.
They don't.
Our job's easy, that, like, we get to talk with funny people. They're funny, and I like to laugh, so it all
I know, but out. What I'm saying is, like, that's... It's such a simple thing, yeah. And yet many men, shout out to the patriarchy, they really can't, like, wrap their heads around it, and it's really frustrating, and it's also, like, I don't understand why so many guys, like, they really don't think... I don't think I'm, like, some drop-dead beautiful woman. There's, like, really, really, like, a, like, the traditional beauty aesthetic that those women are now, like, becoming known comedians, and they're becoming kind of popular, and, like, the fact that guys, like, have such a hard time seeing a woman with, like, a nice face and a good body, like, be funny. I'm like, yeah, dude, I know plenty of those types of girls. They don't do... Some of them don't do comedy, and some of them do. I'm just like, how have you not ever seen this before? How is it so hard for you to believe? But the reality is, it's that they just don't find women funny. That's what it boils down to. Wow, this got really deep really fast.
Right.
That's what we're here for. We'll charge you for the session after.
What is something you think is underrated?
I don't know, Jack. Oh, my God. Okay. Wait, but okay, I'll read some of the... But I'll read some of the reactions.
What's your favorite one?
My favorite one? What was my favorite one? There was a few on here that I... Well, someone... Actually, this might be my favorite one. Someone said overrated Saturday, underrated Tuesday. I was like, you know what? That's actually very interesting.
Let's explore that. Huh. Tuesday.
Underrated. Yeah, it is. It's a good day to go out. There's usually a happy hour situation.
Oh, interesting. Oh, in that sense. Wow.
There's usually no cover to get into wherever you're going. There's usually a really good DJ spinning wherever you're... Or music is playing that is really good. And I agree. I think Tuesday. And I just say that as, like, someone who has to be out at night for a living. Right. It's like Tuesday is... can be a fun night because if
the
you
real
want,
heads know.
Well, because it's not even that. It's that if you're out on a Tuesday, you want to be out.
Right.
If you're
right.
out on a right. Saturday, you like, you might have gotten talked into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, you like, know? A social responsibility, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I will say that might have been my favorite of all the ones that I saw, but there were some really weird ones. I think, and, you know, the problem with being a comedian, especially with the dudes, they think they need to be funny to say something to me. And what was I found really wild, you know, you can learn a lot about a person by these types of choices. One guy said overrated Michael Jackson, underrated Janet Jackson. I was like, oh, you just don't have black friends. Like, Janet Jackson is not underrated at all. Like, anybody, you know what I mean? Well, like, no one thinks she's underrated.
You didn't see Rhythm Nation. Okay.
Well, and it's not, I don't even think it's that. I think that they, because this is a white person, I'm like, they probably, the people around them don't like Janet Jackson. It's like, yeah, boo, the people that you surround yourself with are racist. Like, everyone I am friends with is, they love Janet Jackson. I don't know anybody who doesn't think she's fucking great. Even if they don't like her music, they don't think she's underrated.
She's overrated. I mean, that Super Bowl halftime show was such a mistake. What was she thinking? You're like, what?
Nobody thinks that.
Overrated the Dave Matthews Band and Kenny Loggins, underrated Janet Jackson and Outkast.
What? Tell me you're white without telling me you're white.
Yeah. Exactly.
Tell me you're wearing two polo shirts layered right
now. Yes. I will say, one of the funniest ones that I don't even think this dude realized what he was saying. He said, underrated chocolate milk, overrated butt stuff. And I was like, one certainly explains the other. You can't,
right.
You know, like, how much chocolate milk? Of course you think butt stuff is overrated if you're fucking chugging chocolate milk.
Yeah, that's a mess, man.
Yeah, yeah. That poor woman.
Overrated and vital a bidet. You're like, okay, what is going on?
Wow. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk some news. Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible, no hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. So this is something that I feel like I wasn't fully aware of, that the Q drops had stopped, like Q has dropped off the face of the internet for the most part. Because I always thought that like the origins of Q drops were like kind of hard to verify, like that it was hard to like be like, no, this is definitely actually Q. But I think that they did know when you got an authentic Q, and they're not getting any authentic Qs anymore.
Yeah.
Which is just really sad, I think, is what is why we're talking about this.
Everyone
story.
Thought, you know, they presume is Jim Watkins, who
end of
was
an era,
the owner
Doug.
Of 8kun, which is formerly 8chan and all this other shit. So yeah, right now, because he's not there, it's created like a power vacuum for just a bunch of lion ass hucksters to try and like claim the throne of like the Q leadership. And it's like everybody. So there's first Sidney Powell, who you remember, she was like the Kraken lawyer from, you know, right after the election, who was, you know, getting sued by Dominion voting systems and all those other people. She's like gone a direction where she's like actually like going against a lot of the accepted beliefs of QAnon, where she just said, yo, there is no military tribunal. I know you were promised demon pedophile Democrats going to Guantanamo Bay with these military tribunals. She's like, it ain't happening. She's like, the fucking plan, the trust the plan shit, ain't no fucking plan. There is right. no plan, y'all. Like, we got to figure some shit out on our own. Although she did say, but don't worry, Donald Trump, good high chance that he will be back in office. Unfortunately, because Joe Biden was in office for these first couple months, that doesn't mean he can extend his second term. That was like the one weird thing she gave the audience. And they're like, they were like, okay, great. And
they're like, that makes sense.
Right.
Right. No.
You just come up with like one little like thing that's different.
They're like, yeah.
They're like, oh, well, I mean, she said he can't do it for 4 years.
I mean, we don't have outlandish beliefs. I mean, obviously, yes. When his term ends, then President Trump can go in there.
Yeah, so, I mean, she strikes me as like that mom that has been supporting her loser son in the basement. She's like, okay, honey, it's time to come upstairs and get a shower. Look, you can have your whatever the fuck. And she's just like trying to reason with him. And he's like, okay, mom. It just seems this whole like falling apart shit. And everyone like trying to grab for power feels like literally January 6th, but online.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like.
No, it's true. And they're trying to do everything, right? They're like, it's not just, some people are trying to make this shit more of like a grassroots political movement because they're like, yo, we can't really keep going full steam on this conspiracy theory shit because it'll flame the fuck out. But like, there is a way to maybe funnel this energy in a way for someone else's nefarious plans. So there are other things going on. So Telegram has just become like where everybody gathers to exchange like all their information, whether it's financial promises, quote, claiming, for example, that QAnon believers will become wealthy if they buy a specific cryptocurrency or near valueless currency like the Iraqi dinar. Others have claimed that the world economy will soon be radically restructured in a, quote, global financial reset that will abolish debts, meaning QAnon believers should feel free to take on huge debts and not worry about paying them back.
Wow.
But why bother? If the money's all going to be wiped out, why bother doing that? Oh, I guess like you're...
They're saying, yo, buy my shit. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Let's go all in on this because there's going to be a global reset and then we'll just wait till they come and just take your fucking Geostorm from you. It's going to be
transparent. Just look at like what they get out of it, like what they benefit. So, I mean, with the people who are selling shit, that's very obvious. They get your money. But like with Sidney Powell, it's like she's saying that there's not like some made up legal entity that's going to like just clear the table for them. So her as a lawyer who actually believes in this shit, like she becomes more powerful because she knows how to like.
Yeah, although it turned out she may have completely fucked up her defense because, you know, she's being sued by Dominion Voting Systems because she said the election was rigged and the machines are all like, all scammed and shit. And they're like, yo, this is worth taking your ass to court. At this QAnon convention, she spoke at the same place where she said there is no plan. There is no military tribunals. Her whole defense was these were just her opinions about what was happening with these voting machines. But her dumb ass said out loud, she was like, well, the thing is, this is true. And we got the evidence to prove it. And every legal expert was like slapping their foreheads like in celebration, be like, oh, you may have completely fucked up your defense by saying this shit out loud. So, you know, it's suffice to say it's very chaotic. Michael Flynn, General Flynn, they say like he's probably the closest to having like the most authentic Q power because like a lot of things intersected with what he was doing. And he even took a Q oath last summer, like in front of his family. Shit was so fucking sad. And he's even out here saying things like, no, like the military isn't running things secretly for Donald Trump. Like, that's not what's going on. He's like, but we do need to be like alert, you know, patriots, because all this other shit. But the real thing that is really, I think where we're going to see a lot of this energy go is that like, whatever they consider the more respectable Q leaders, whatever the fuck that means, like the ones who just don't want to go all in on like the, you know, like anti-Semitic like tropes and like other kinds of nasty conspiracy shit. They're more trying to be like
out loud.
No, not out loud. Just through just through very blatant racist iconography and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they're the ones saying like that local politics is the way for everybody to put this energy. And essentially creating like an army of drones that are in the office
that can do
whatever the fuck they want. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what they're saying.
Absolutely smart.
At this Q conference, quote, they urged audience members to build up local QAnon organizations and take precinct seats in local Republican groups. Far from the vision of a world reborn through violence that sparked QAnon, one that's likely more achievable for the QAnon movement. In the spirit of QAnon new localism, one promoter urged Q fans to get involved with their local school boards. A battlefield where QAnon has already seen some early success. This organizer said, quote, go to your local school board meetings, get on the school board.
That's disgusting. It's also like wild to be like, they were, you know, the whole pizza pedophile shit. And it's just like, you guys are now just gonna be the pedophiles. Like, why are you doing, like, why are you right. getting involved with these school boards? Like, it's so disgusting. It's so weird. It's so disgusting. Ugh.
I mean, all along with that, you got Matt Gaetz, who's all reports coming out. Like, he's the one trafficking minors, but that has nothing. Okay, but that doesn't intersect with your, because it's not really about that anyway. You just needed some weird ideas to justify your shitty worldview.
And I wasn't at a convention 2 weeks ago, like, supporting my political beliefs, but these motherfuckers were. That also scares me. Like, they're motivated.
I mean, they're involved. They're motivated. I'll give them that. Yeah. You got to show a little respect. Here's a question for both of you guys. What's the biggest scam you ever felt for? Because this is like, it's wild that people fall for
Columbia
this shit.
House.
Okay.
I was like, all this for a penny? Say less.
That was a good one. I was going to say the food pyramid.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
That's a really good
one. That
was
a national scam that we all embraced.
Fat-free, sugary things. Mm-hmm. Just food pyramid's really good. Credit card debt is a good one.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean credit like that is not real?
Well, it's not.
Just
because there'll be a great financial reset?
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
That's what I fell for.
All this free money right up front, man.
I'm pulling up in a Lambo.
Other biggest scam I've fallen for is men. Hey-o! Hey,
all right, there we go.
Doing? What are we doing?
We're back.
Here?
Well, let's talk about a couple of the good ones when it comes to men.
Oh, I thought you were going to say QAnon members. I was like, what?
No, the Koch brothers, they're the good guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're out here pressuring Joe Manchin. So CNBC just published a story about how they're just all over his ass with lobbying, with like radio commercials and all over West Virginia. Just really trying to, they're just focusing all their money and energy on getting him to oppose the filibuster and to oppose protecting voting rights. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's their standard playbook, but they're still out here, even though one of them died.
Yeah. Well, because if this HR1 goes through, the For the People Act, man, it's going to be hard as fuck to pull a lot of the fuckery that they normally do to eke out these, you know, gerrymandered wins and shit and suppressed votes that they count on to be able to balance the scales in favor of their platform. So, yeah, I mean, efficient for them. Just focus it all on like two people. You don't have to do all this massive other thing. Like, no, just get in this dude's head.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's not very intelligent. So,
I mean, they're not getting in his head. They're getting in his bank account. Money talks.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, when you look at the wording of the lobbying and like, so they went to some, I think it's like the Americans for Prosperity is the name of the fucking group, the Koch brothers group. And like, it literally sounds like his talking points from the statements that we were talking about yesterday, where he was explaining why he doesn't support abolishing the filibuster and doesn't support the Voting Rights Act. It was like directly lifted. It was like they could have written them for him.
Oh, shit. Well, I know there's definitely been like footage from those kinds of meetings where they're like saying they'll write shit for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and even the legislation for voter suppression and things like that, because that's just how this network moves. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Especially when he said, like, if it's so good, how come no Republicans voted for it?
It's like, that only makes sense to a Republican. What the fuck are you talking about?
Come on.
It's also just indicative that, like, the Voting Rights Act is going to do more good than just like what it's in, like, specific, you know, specifically it's supposed to protect the rights of people to vote, like all people to vote, but it would also lessen the impact that like wealthy donors have, which is why they're opposing it. Like, it has all these other like benefits that's why it's so,
and it's not
so
even
dangerous.
Like, it's not even like the bill that like real like activists and people who are like looking at this shit want. Like, it's not even going that far.
Watered
it's like
down,
yo
yeah.
We're getting out all this dark money. They're like, you can, you know, it's there's still ways to fuck around, yet they still are like, oh no, they're gonna register kids before their birthday to vote. Fuck.
Rich powerful white dudes love to be like, yeah, but that's the first domino, and once that first domino falls, then the entire Asian continent falls or the entire Republican Party falls.
Right, so. Right.
It's just really fucked how, like, anybody, like, all the really good people in the world, like, we wish they would get politically involved. But, like, if you're a good person, you don't want to be politically involved with any shit because you know how fucking fucked up and corrupt it is. And it's, but it's that mentality that we need in the system to actually work and fight against these types of people and that mentality.
Yeah.
But again, like, if you have that in you to, like, you know, not be corrupt, not be a lying piece of shit, not all that, you don't want to pursue that. And it's just really frustrating. It's just, it feels like it's never ending, you know?
Yeah. And I think the easiest thing, though, too, is, like, I have friends who work in government and they're always saying, like, you know, they're not elected. They work, they're right. in the bureaucracy.
Right.
They're like, what we need, like, we have plenty of people, woke people who want to run for office.
Right.
We don't have enough bureaucrats yeah. who are like, yo, I need a job and I have a good head on my shoulders.
Right.
You should probably work at, in some form of a bureaucracy. Not to say that it's good, but at the yeah. very least, when you have these budgets, right, that come down, it's the people that work in the bureaucracies that are figuring out how to spend it. The politicians will allocate the money, right. but then it's those people who are like, well, let's just fund the same tired ass departments and programs that don't fucking right, work right, because right, we just right. have decades old as shitty habits that aren't going to the right things. And because of that, you only have a couple people in these rooms being like, nah, we need to actually fund more, you know, social workers to be able to be deployed to people having a mental health crisis rather than right. police. Or like, maybe we can put a little bit more money into these other programs that we're seeing real benefits in, but they have to push back against like 60 and 70 year old people who've been there like, no, no, I know Bill. He'll do what's right with the money. They'll buy a bigger Hummer this year. And you're like, this is, and that's where a lot of the tension happens. And yeah. you can see it in the district attorney's office in LA. Like, it's the bureaucracies too that play a huge role in being able to move progressively because there aren't enough people in those positions who are elastic mentally to yeah. be able to switch gears. And I think that's like, yeah, it's, you know, so, you know, check it out, you know, maybe
it's frustrating. I yeah. agree. It's frustrating.
All right. There's a new ProPublica report I want to talk about real quick that basically is illegal what they're doing. They're
ProPublica.
Yeah. They're basically revealing these dudes' individual tax information. They're like, we're not going to tell you where we got it. But their argument is that this has greater public value than like not doing it, essentially.
Sure.
That like there's enough public value. So it's not, I mean, it's not illegal. Like it's just when they interviewed Bloomberg's people, for instance, they were like, and we think this is indefensible to reveal the tax information about private individuals. So they'll probably be sued over this. But
it's worth it. That's what I'm saying. Like if you want to actually do stuff that's for the greater good, it gets you into trouble because the people in power are corrupt pieces of shit that, of course, don't want this shit revealed. Like, that's yeah. exactly speaking to what I just said. It's so frustrating. It's this evil cycle. So it's like, shout out to them for actually fucking doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, get us angry, Jack. What are they
doing? Jack.
All right. So, yeah, not to overcomplicate this because it's like evil as fuck. But basically, what they did is they looked at not just income, which is like, you know, we know how income is taxed. They look at how much income you make in a given year, and then they tax a certain portion of that. Well, the way rich people do it is they grow their wealth by having like stock holdings that go up in value, and, you know, they make $100 billion in value in a year, but they don't actually sell that stock, so they don't have to pay taxes on that. And so just to put that into perspective, between 2006 and 2018, Jeff Bezos's wealth shot up by $120 billion. And again, we like our brain can't even process what $120 billion means, but mm-hmm. it's just an unimaginable amount of wealth that could solve world hunger like 10 times over. Meanwhile, typical Americans his age paid more in taxes than they saw in wealth growth. That is, for every $100 of wealth growth over that period, a typical American paid $160 in taxes. Bezos paid $1. So we're paying, the average American is paying more in taxes than their wealth is growing over a period of time because the way that most of us make our money and grow our wealth is through our income. But because the extremely wealthy, like Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett and Mike Bloomberg, like are all just foregoing an income, basically, but still making billions and billions and billions of dollars through growing their stock holdings, they are able to pay less than we are. And so, you know, think about if you only had to pay $1 on every $100 that you made.
Like, don't even say that shit. Don't even say that shit. It's so funny because everyone's first fucking brutal lesson with this fucked up system that we have is when you get that first fucking job, and as when you're whatever age you are, you're a teenager or whatever, and you're like, fuck yeah, I'll make X an hour times everything I did. Oh shit, I'm getting like $200 in this check. And then you get it and you're like, what the fuck is all this other shit they just took out of here? I thought I made this money. And then even to know that these people are like living the fantasy version that like we were as kids, where it's like, okay, yeah, maybe like a dollar comes out. Like I could fuck with that. Right. Not 26% or whatever the fuck it all ends up being. Oh, it's fucking infuriating. And also leads me again that we have to start bullying these motherfuckers.
Yes. Thank you.
Bullying
works. So that's what we were talking about yesterday, is just we need to make Jeff Bezos the most hated person on earth and then make sure he knows that, because
he looked good on that Megan Thee Stallion cover yesterday.
He clearly wants to be liked because he's doing this, like going, risking his life to be liked, to go to space. Like he is clearly desperate for public approval.
I mean, even the way he dresses, you can tell he's desperate to be liked. What a loser. Yeah.
And he's been like lifting weights and eating almonds for the past like 15 years to try and get ripped, which is like, nobody wants to see that, man. But like, that's,
I think it eats him up inside that people like Elon Musk, even though I don't think they should. But I think he really is like, fuck, man, I'm cooler than Elon Musk. Like, let's do a video where I'm wearing a cowboy hat and drinking a beer with my brother I barely talk to.
That's what I love about this report, is that so rich people have been taking advantage of America's sort of, you know, being just incredibly horny for individualism, like, and wanting to like lionize anybody who becomes a public celebrity. So they make themselves public celebrities. Elon Musk hosts SNL. Bill Gates gets to like lecture on anything he wants to give a speech on and like assume to be an expert. Warren Buffett gets like a flattering documentary on HBO. And ProPublica is basically using the fact that they have created these public profiles for themselves and being like, that is going to make sense to people. That's the one way to make the theft that wealthy people are getting away with make sense to people, is by using those public profiles and being like, okay, this is how much this individual motherfucker like is stealing from you,
right?
Basically, while you pay more in taxes than you actually make.
Right. So in a way, you should be able to pull up to one of these people and be like, where is my Lamborghini?
Yeah.
Because that's at minimum, that's what we're looking at, that you've siphoned out from me. So let me get that. And God damn, that's why I wish, again, there was just places where you could run into these billionaires and have all their goon, like IDF former security guards, like haranguing you or trying to keep you away, where you can really get in Jeff Bezos' face, like, you ain't shit. And everybody knows you a fucking fraud.
I mean, shout out to that dude who slapped that French bread.
Macron?
In. Like, God, we all wish we could do that shit. I mean, God knows how he's gonna be punished, but like, damn, like, that's the shit we do wish we could do.
Yeah, like, straight in my veins. You're like, yo, you smacked you wanted to smack the shit out your leader, and you did. That must have felt fucking good.
It must have felt real good. I'm just thinking about, because these numbers are crazy. They pay a dollar for every 100 or whatever the fuck.
Right.
And it reminds me, because I keep thinking about how, Miles, to what you were saying, like, when you were a teen, but when I was six, Halloween was a day I learned to hate the government. Was my dad would like, have I told this story before? I don't know. But like, my dad, at the end of trick or treating, we had all our candy out, and he would walk through because we'd be trading our candies. He'd be like, the tax man's here. I'm here to take 10%. And I was like, no!
Wow.
10 is all the numbers I know. That's right, all right. The
That's
numbers.
Huge.
And he would take. And he wouldn't just take some of like the gross circus peanut candies. He would take like
some Snickers. And he was like, you got to learn about Uncle Sam. You got to learn about how the government works. And I was like, I fucking hate the government when I was 6 years old because my dad taught us about taxes. And it really, like, it's wild now that I'm an adult to be like, this shit is so fucking corrupt. And it feels so out of hand. And again, which going back to the same point, it's like we need people really in the system that aren't fucking trying to all be AOC and like actually like infiltrating this damn system. And it's so frustrating. And, you know, I can't say too much shit because I was like 25 when I was like, because I was like, you know, doing going to marches and doing this and that. And I was like, do I want to do this and really do this? Or do I want to pursue comedy? And selfishly, I was like, I want to do comedy because I do want to be happy, because I saw the like how fucked up and deep and how unchangeable things really seem, and how it felt like even if I got into politics, like even the most change I could do would still leave me really fucking sad.
You know, like it's really shitty how
when you think about how fucked up it is, because it's like, you know, my family's from El Salvador, and like the shit that's going on in El Salvador right now is like so crazy. And it just every topic we talk about, you guys talk about on this show, it just, it's like, fuck, man, this shit is relentlessly endless, you know?
We're just waiting for, I think,
we're waiting to die. That's what we're doing. We're waiting to die.
Or just like the tone of what we talk about to always be, the pressure we're feeling is because the weight of the wealthy is being just put onto us.
All of us.
They don't
do
shit. They just take every day. They're the same people who pay our fucking, cut our paychecks, but at the same time, they don't pay shit.
Yeah.
Like this whole thing is built upon exploitation of your work and your wealth and things like that. And I think right now it's much easier to be like, fuck, man, I want to make it like Elon, man.
Right.
Fuck, I want Warren Buffett money.
Yo, that is,
you know, and that's like the, and I think that is the, because we're the most propagandized fucking beings on earth, that we can't even be able to, like, only a few people are like, no, man, it's just these couple of fucking greedy fucks that were unwilling to tax, or because the way the system is, that's what, you know, for me, like, leaving politics very specifically to, like, just follow my shit in comedy and just do whatever the fuck I wanted to do, it was because I realized, yo, this system is, it can't be changed,
it can't be
infiltrated. Like the real substantive change is going to be like when, you know, American people begin to understand how much we have to work collectively to be in, to be like, oh shit, they figured out how to fucking stop working and put the brakes on shit.
Do you think the pandemic opened a lot of people's eyes about that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're at now, like what that
means
measurably.
Yeah.
But you can tell just from like reading like profiles on people who like after the pandemic were like, yo, I'm done doing this other shit. Like I'm done being a bartender, actually. Like it's too much work. I don't like the energy. But people are pivoting to like, I want to organize better outcomes for people who work in bars. Like that's more fulfilling to me. And I think once people get, the churn of capitalism stops for a second and people are like, yo, what the fuck matters?
What are we doing?
Yeah, I think the only thing I would correct in what you said is that it's not that it's impossible to change. It's that the change that we desire isn't impossible to see in our lifetime. But I definitely think that the change will be small, but it will be, it needs to be constant and needs to be with as many people that, I don't want to say think like us, but have maybe progressive ideas that go in there and they do it the best that they can with this fucked up system. Because, you know, hundreds of years of bullshit, you know,
And I think as you see it play out in more places, because it's not just people like in the inner cities and things talking about gentrification, you're seeing it happen in like Ketchum, Idaho, where like it's near like where all these celebrities and like rich people buy properties, and it's driving up the cost of living for just these normal people in this small town that like, their town is like, yeah, man, we're thinking of letting people pitch tents and park their RVs to live there because we don't have any regulation on affordable housing. That like even people in these Midwestern places are like, what the fuck is this? Like, why are wealthy people allowed to just turn up the rent prices on us out of fucking nowhere? Like, we're the people that serve them and they want us to live in fucking tents. And it's like, yeah, man.
Oh, my God, this is so crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
It's just the limitation of the human mind. Like, I can't conceive of $1 billion. Nobody can conceive of $1 billion who doesn't like have $1 billion. Like, no. It's, and
the most money I can conceive of is like that scene in Blow where they had all the fucking cash in like legal boxes. And I'm like, yo, that's a lot of money. But that's the most I could even fathom for money ever.
Think about like how you could spend all the money you could possibly like get your mind around in a single year, and you would still have hundreds of million dollars left over.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. When I worked at when I was a bank manager, I was like responsible for wiring like millions upon millions of dollars every day. That was one of the things I had to do the first thing in the morning. And it fucking fucked with me, man. I was like, I don't understand this. I hate that I have to do this. I'm really like, I felt like, I don't want to use the term slave, because that's a, you know, a little overzealous. But it's like, I felt so small.
Like a serf in a medieval kingdom.
Oh my God. It was the beginning of me starting to be like, I do not want to do this. This feels so fucking weird. It feels out of touch. It feels unnecessary. Like also, what are these companies really doing? You know, because I mean, if you know anything about anything, you know, none of these companies are just fucking clean all the way through. It's not possible to have that much money and not exploit labor and people. And it's just bizarre. The money and what's fucked up is that money isn't even real. It's a concept that was created.
Right.
And yet here we are. It's controlling everything. It's fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, just think about the amount of money that people are making off of moving those wire transfers from one thing to another compared and like not adding value to anyone's life other than their clients or whatever.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, people who are actually serving people and actually serving a purpose in their communities don't make shit and then are made to pay $160 in taxes for every $100 of wealth growth. And that makes them hate taxes, which then the billionaires use to their advantage by being like, yeah, taxes suck. Am I right?
Yeah.
Let's get rid of all these high taxes that are killing us. Am I right? Elon Musk didn't pay any tax. He paid $0 in taxes in 2018.
Milkshake these assholes.
You know, I also was, I'm just like, we would respect these people a little bit if they were like, okay, I'm not going to pay taxes, but I'm going to give this city $1 million. Like when Tulsa, and you know, they have their issues, but they put that park together out there. It's this free park that's available to everybody. And literally it was like the wealthy, which I'm assuming it's like the guilty white people, you know, it's their money. And they opened this insanely huge, but free outside park that is available and, you know, for anyone to use. And it's beautiful. And, you know, the historical implications are there. But I was like, well, that's fucking nice that these millionaires did this because the city needed it. And again, it's Tulsa, so they have their own bullshit that they haven't dealt with.
Yeah, anything where they can just sort of wash over their own acts by doing like these little.
Yeah, but I just like as and it's not like the best use of money, but I was just like, that was the first time I was like, oh, yeah, so millionaires, billionaires can actually do something for cities. They just choose not to. Like, it was just that is how I felt about it when I got to like, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was, you know, got to see it before it opened. And that was cool as a comedian. But it definitely like fucked me up because I was just like, man, these people and their money, it's just too much. I'm sorry. And we're taking a break. Sorry.
And we're taking a break. Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and we have time for, let's go one quick story about an escape room. I mean, this is something that I didn't realize existed, horror movie-themed escape rooms.
Yeah. You know, I like escape rooms. I like using my mind for puzzles. I'm not really fucking with haunted houses, mostly because, well, I'm high when I go out to make things more interesting or palatable for me, and I don't want stinky motherfuckers popping out at me and trying to scare the shit out of me.
Mm.
But I guess this is like a huge, it's a lucrative thing. Like, there was a Saw themed, like the Saw movies themed, like mystery escape room experience that did, I guess, really well. And now they're announcing one based on the Blair Witch Project. Shout out Montgomery Blair High School, where Steve Francis went. But what is this Blair Witch escape room? This is what they say. Quote, as guests enter, they will immediately be transported to the lifelike small village of Burkittsville, Maryland, to investigate mysterious happenings and disappearances within the community. Investigators will then need to work together to escape multiple rooms that bring the classic film and the curse of the Blair Witch to life. Trekking through the iconic Black Hills Forest will be just one of the memorable, dramatic, and terrifying elements that provides exciting twists and putting guests to the test. I don't know what that means. But
just means white people love a reason to be spooked because they're not scared in real life. They just walk out of the house all comfortable and happy. And so they go to these escape rooms. They're trying to take it up a notch. So they're like, we got to do Blair Witch. We got to do Saw. We got to do The Conjuring in order to feel something, because we don't feel anything when we read the news.
Could you imagine feeling powerless as existential threats abound around you? Oh, spooky.
Do people not get nightmares? Do you guys not get nightmares? I don't watch scary, quote unquote, scary movies because like I get actual nightmares at like the stress dreams and I can't sleep. Oh, hell yeah. So I don't watch these things. Do you guys, if you watch a movie like this, do you get nightmares? That's my question.
I don't really fuck with horror.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I don't either.
Oh, okay.
I don't really fuck with horror that
He's
much.
Two little sweetie pies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you think it'd be cool if we did.
Oh.
In which case, I fuck with heavy.
I mean, yeah, I definitely would have thought you had a huge dick if you did. But
that's the number one
sorry,
sign.
I can't lie.
But now I know the facts, so.
She knows.
So that's why you like white
back,
women.
Like, oh, shit. Definitely not. But
you guys, I wish you guys could have seen Miles' eyes roll to the back of his head. They almost got stuck. That shit was hell of fun.
I was like, hell, we're not doing this. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it just feels like a weird opportunity because this is a decades old film that I thought no one like. I know there was like a reboot recently,
people
but is this
loved
the thing?
It.
I know, yeah. But is this the? I feel like there might be other films that would get more people interested.
It's, right? I don't think it's that. I think it's the way that it was shot. It's got it because it's got that reality vibe to it. That,
right, right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no horror or scary movie since then has captured. I don't think they've replicated that concept right. The way that. Remember, when we saw Blair Witch, we actually thought it was real. We're like, oh my god, this is real.
We were dumb children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But with that being said, like there was something original and interesting about it, you know? So I can see why like that concept is cool.
I'm also assuming that like this isn't the number one IP like opportunity. Like I'm sure if they could get a Conjuring escape room, they would, but it's just Blair Witch is what's willing to work with them.
Yeah, that's true too. I do like I also just find that funny that the nerdiest sentence. This IP opportunity.
Yeah.
What did you just
I like
say?
To talk about IP.
IP
you know,
opportunity.
This is hot IP.
Our pitch meeting, real quick,
Marcella.
I mean, these podcast networks are just IP factories, man.
Oh my
as far as I'm
gosh.
Concerned, man. Hey, you want to do lunch at my office at UTA later, bro? Check me out.
Oh fuck.
But yeah, it's the other thing is like a Conjuring won't be fucked up. It's all like Catholic themed. I feel like, see, that's too real.
That's,
and then somebody's like, yeah, no.
It's offensive. There could be a
don't bring
suit.
In my real life.
Yeah.
right.
Just keep it freaky.
Saw is the one that like makes the most sense of any movie, like horror movie or not horror movie. Like Saw is a movie about people being trapped in an escape room that is deadly. So it's like that makes.
Do you think that one was all fucked up and like, do you want to play a game? And
oh, I'm
you're
sure,
like strapped
yeah.
to a chair and like water's filling up. Like they kind of fuck with you like that.
I would be very nervous to go into one of those because like the escape rooms that I've been in are not like expertly put together or run. Like I'm not sure.
Jack,
I would be...
You gotta learn how to splurge, baby. You gotta learn how to splurge and make it worth it.
Stop saying those weird motels.
Those little $20 escape rooms.
Yeah, sure, it's an escape room. Room. Yeah,
just trying to find the laundromat.
Marcella, as always, such a pleasure having
you. Is that it?
That's it.
Oh my god.
That's it. Yeah.
I went by really fast.
I know.
You guys are enjoyable.
See, stop saying that. We hear that all too often.
One of
is
the
that
greats.
It?
Exactly.
Poor Jack.
Brother. Oh, poor me.
Get us out of here.
Where can people find you and follow you? And maybe buy tickets to
at Marcella Comedy is my social media handles. 2 L's, Marcella Comedy. I'm at Sacramento Punchline June 24th through the 26th.
Woo!
PunchlineSac.com are the tickets. I'll be at the Bell House in New York City in July 31st, or Brooklyn, July 31st. Two shows, everything is social distance.
Okay.
And that is exciting. And those are my first headlining dates, like weekend dates, I should say. My first headlining weekend dates, and I'm very nervous and excited, and it should be fun. I will be funnier at those shows than I was on this podcast. That's what I'll say.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you'll be good. You're funny.
No, I know. I will be funny at the shows than I was on this podcast, because this shit, sometimes I'm like, oh, boy, guys. You're really putting me to work here. Oh.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, my God, yes. This girl, at Jess Kai 1018. She said, "Microdosing hell by liking men."
I
was like, "Yeah, girl, this is a lot."
Miles, where can people find you and what's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, check out 420 Day Fiance. Go to twitch.tv/420dayfiance to see that Tuesdays and Fridays. Let's see. Some tweets that I like. Ooh, shit. First one is from Rochelle Friedland at Rochelle_F. Says, when a person I'm dating calls me their partner, it's because I'm on the board of fucking and sucking LLC.
Wow.
It's like, okay, shout out to you.
Yes. Spicy.
And another one, actually just like to tweet from Vanessa Guerrero, past guest at Ness Guerrero. You know, she's working at G4 and she loves G4 and she just was really happy to share like a thing she produced, and that brought a smile to my face to see people doing what they love to do. So shout out to you, Vanessa.
That's adorable, Miles.
Yeah. It was nice.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien.
He's never on there.
Let's see. I'm there. I'm there every day, you know, getting corrected about my early 90s rock knowledge. I like this from Lil's Michelle tweeted, you know your ex is not over you when they literally go to space.
That's true.
And, and then I liked from former guest Yedoye at Yedoye _ quote, the book was better than the movie. No, you just have a beautiful and limitless imagination, you fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
That's a horrible impression of Yedoye, but.
I know. You didn't think I nailed it? I was doing my best. you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you should go check out. Miles, are you gonna do it to him? You gonna recommend that song we're listening to?
You know, we're going international.
Funny? Of all the things you guys make me do, I would love to bring music onto this show.
Okay,
I just want to say that. Overrated, right, underrated one. Shit? I'm like, whatever.
Next one, we'll do all music-based search history, overrated, underrated, but you give us some music. You
know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about!
We'll tailor it to you.
I know you will. That's why. I just thought about it. I just thought
it. We killed a whole part of the show for you.
I know. I love it. You guys understand?
It was all for you.
It was all for you.
You understand how happy that makes me, and your fans get annoyed about it. Some of your fans fucking hate me, and I fucking love it.
I don't know if they're fans, if they hate any of the shit that comes out. I don't know if I'll call
them fans. Well, they're fans of you, but they don't like a guest, which I understand that concept, because as a Women Crush Wednesdays person, like, I would sometimes get that where I'm just like, I book them because I like them. I get that you don't like them, but shut up about it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it gets tired. But hey, that's the fucking thing about the internet. That's why the fucking social media, like, I barely check it half the time too. I'm not interested in hearing much about anything aside from the terrible world and the news that we have to look at every day.
Oh my God.
I have a bell that rings every time I get a mention, and I eagerly open it up to see what they said.
Your child. Daddy!
Woo, boy!
You're getting flamed, Dad! Dad's getting flamed! But yeah, this is a track from Park Hee-jin, who is a South Korean, you know, MC artist. And this is a track that is being produced by Clams Casino. You remember Clams Casino from like a lot of early ASAP Rocky stuff.
Yep.
This track is called Y, like the letter Y, don't you, the letter U. And it's just, I don't even know, her flow is fucking sick. I don't even speak Korean, but I'm like, I feel it. Like, you not fucking with somebody based on this delivery, and I love it. So this is a track, Park Hee-jin, Why Don't You? And we'll have that footnotes.
Yeah, this is the hardest I've ever been like, yo, what is this?
What is this? What is this? What's this?
Yeah, this is very, very dope. So go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. And we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. We'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.